Welcome to the School of the Word. This is Lesson 41 in our teaching series, Unlocking the Prophetic, titled Shifting Atmospheres, Part 2. Our teacher is Alan Smith.
So if we're becoming familiar with the voice and the presence of God, what I'd like for you to consider, you feel the presence of the Lord before you see it. And here's what I mean by that. What you feel is what you become spiritually aware of. All right? What you feel, or how you're feeling, is what you become spiritually aware of. In other words, you're sensitized in that area of what you're feeling. So you tend to get a lot of confirmation in your reality based on what you're feeling. If you feel bad, if you feel like complaining a lot, it's amazing how many conversations in the day that you'll come into and other people complaining too, and there's a kinship of familiarity, and this look, I have justified my complaining because everybody else that I'm coming in contact with is complaining too, so that must be the truth. It's called a spiritual confirmation. And we look for a confirmation in things of the Spirit. Now, please understand, when I say things of the Spirit, that doesn't mean it's just God. It doesn't mean it's just God. Things of the Spirit are like things of the natural. There's things here that's good, and there's things here that's not good. Spiritual world's the same way, things that are good and things that are not good. But you tend to see what you feel, but you're going to feel before you can see. That's the reason. As an example, let's say today a lot of people say, well, I don't have time to read my Bible. I understand that. And today's world is very busy. But there has been this thing created called the iPhone. And they have Bible apps. And so instead of listening to your favorite radio station or what have you, punch your Bible app, listen to Galatians, and you can listen two or three books a day just in your spare time. But in your Bible app, let that start going in you. Now, there must be a reason that God has allowed this technology to come forth. It's because God's people's got to have more of the Word of God in them now than ever before. Be no mistake about it. We have got to have more of God's Word in us. In this day and age, and God's given us the provisions to do it. Ever how much you used to read and seek God 10 years ago? It's not good enough for today. It's just not with the world, the realities that we're living in. So, you see what you feel. Well, if you watch the news and watch headlines on all the search engines, and you look at all that, it's going to create what you feel. It's going to make you feel bad. It's going to make you feel sad. You're going to have a bad day, and everybody else has got a bad day, and we're all just alike. So the only kinship you feel is in people that's having as bad a day as you are. Now, that's not what we call a leader. That's what we call a follower. And God's called His people to be leaders. And so as we're leaders and we feel, then we see. If I feel the presence of God, I am then looking for around me the presence of God moving because I feel His presence. If I started feeling the presence of a mountain lion in this sanctuary, would I not stop and look for the mountain lion? And then would I not, when I observe the mountain lion, would I not then say, I want to see what he's up to and where he's going? Right? Because I was feeling him, now I see him. So it has got me captivated, and I want to see, where is this mountain lion going? So it has drawn my attention. So therefore, I will see him move. Same way with God. When you feel his presence, you'll start seeing his presence. I saw the presence of God on quite a few people when I came in here this morning. I was came prepared. I felt the presence of the Lord. Came in through the doors. I saw two, three, four people, some praying for each other, one praying and crying. Conversations. I saw several people embrace. What was I seeing? I can't see God, but I can see the results of His presence being there. And how do we do that? It's through the observation of each other. So how we behave, that's the wrong term, how we are in our reality, let's use this as sanctuary, it's church as a for instance, it could be at home, at work, anywhere. How we are can or cannot be the validation to someone that's looking for the presence of God. That's called the prophetic. Can you hear me? It's called the prophetic. How we act, how we behave. Don't like that word behaving because that means I'm trying to be better than I really am. I'm not saying that. We want to be authentic in our feelings. So therefore, our authentic feelings creates a behavior, and then that behavior, so it starts creating a spiritual synergy in a congregation as we all come in here together, and we're looking, we're sensing, we are feeling the presence of God. Then it causes us and gives us the opportunity we might see Him move. How will I see Him? Have I ever seen Him break through the natural world out of the spiritual world into the natural world? The answer to that is yes, I have. Not that often, but often enough that it scared the bejeebies out of me. And what I mean by that is I can see the presence and the movement of God upon someone's face. Right? You know what I'm talking about. So as we see the presence and movement of God upon each other, then that's what is contagious. I can see a miracle performed, someone healed, blind eyes see. Then we can see the spiritual breaking into the natural, of course. And we all love to see that. And then someone being born again, right? It's incredible. And we all want to see that. But I want to suggest to us that the presence of God can break through before an invitation. The presence of God can break through, and we're waiting for His appearing, and He's waiting on us to let Him appear through us, Christ in you, the hope of glory. So now keep that in mind as I'm moving forward this morning. Now, the title of this was, where I was going the last week or two. See, we weren't here last week, right? Oh, I got 2 weeks to say in one Sunday. That's going to be fun. Shifting atmospheres. We feel before we can see. Shifting atmospheres. When we come into this room, as an example, it could be at your home, it could be at your workplace, we're either going to let the atmosphere control who we are, or we're going to shift atmospheres. Did Jesus calm a storm, yes or no? Yes. We say, well, Alan, that's in the natural. Yes, all of that's sign and symbols. Yes, Jesus calmed a storm. Can He calm a physical storm? And the answer is yes. But the greater symbol is Jesus calmed a storm. Now, it's the reason as a prophetic people, we've got to be able to read the symbols of the Scriptures. So we can see that we can calm a storm. So if we're going to be able to calm a storm as a prophetic people, would it not be a great idea to not be part of the storm? Right? So what do we do in calming a spiritual storm? We remove ourselves from the storm. Be sure we're not the catalyst of the storm. Now, so as we're shifting these atmospheres, I want to go through a self-examination for yourself and some realistic and practical spiritual ways that we get into this shifting. This is a little proverb I put up last week. Why shift atmospheres is the question. The more we lay down, the greater the visitation. The more we lay down, the greater the visitation. Now, visitation of the Lord, you know, Jesus said to Israel that they have missed their visitation. There is no doubt in my mind that I have missed some visitations from the Lord. Can anybody else say that? I mean, come on, y'all. We have missed some visitations of the Lord. That being true, it means I'm also, how many believe that God wants to send another visitation? All right. So we know we've missed some, and we agree that God wants to send another. So therefore, does it not behoove us to prepare and be ready for His visitation, lest we miss it? There's a self-examination. There's a... To lay down means to we lay down our selfishness, our pride, our... Listen, please consider this statement. You don't do church right for the presence of God to be here. That's not the way it works. You need to take the word perfect out of your brain. That is an untrue word. Well, I can feel that one. It's an untrue word. We never make it to perfection. There's not anything perfect. Wasn't but one. His name is Christ. Everything that borns dies. It's not eternal. So therefore, the only thing that can be perfect is in God's kingdom, and then He takes our imperfections, He redeems them, and then makes it perfect. So we don't strive for perfection, we strive to lay it down so that God can redeem it. Can you feel it? The key to true spirituality is learning to lay down at the cross of Christ that God might redeem. So therefore, our actions are then made perfect because He made them perfect. So I don't even strive for perfection. Being perfect is not in my vocabulary because I know it's an untrue word, except in Him. So the more we lay down, the greater the visitation. Are you with me now? So we're looking for God to reveal to us things that we need to lay down at the cross of Christ. Now, just as sure as you think you have laid everything down, and you probably have, the Holy Spirit does not sleep, so therefore, things in your life begin to be uncomfortable once again. And then that being uncomfortable forces you, you'll try to fix it, you'll try to perfect it, you'll try to make it this, and then you give up, and once again you can lay it down at the cross of Christ and trust God. Does anybody have any idea what I'm talking about? So our life is a life of total transition. The Apostle Paul, I think, tried to put a good spin on it so we could handle it. And he said, from glory to glory. I like that spin. From glory to glory. I'm like, from dying to dying, I guess is glorious. So we go from glory to glory, and I'm going to get into that a little bit more. But the idea here in this prophetic understanding is that we lay down things in our life that there might be room for a greater visitation. Consider your heart and soul like a hard drive, and it has so much space. You got to make room for God. So what God says is you need to lay some things down in a nice way. He tries to tell us what you've got in there is not worth that much anyway. You're not losing much. It's amazing how tightly we will hang on to ourselves, not realizing that the new us is waiting to be experienced. Isn't that amazing? Here's the scripture in Job 10:12. Thou hast granted me life and favor, and thy visitation hath preserved what? My spirit. Thou hast granted me life and favor, and thy visitation has preserved my spirit. Now here's how big, what a big deal this visitation is. You say, Alan, all you're about is revival. Listen, I'm after preservation. A visitation from God preserves your spirit. Not only that, it gives you more life and more favor. This life is not a good place for a Christian to live without the favor of God. It is very hazardous. I didn't say it would be comfortable. It's hazardous. It's uncomfortable. For some reason or another, God's got a hand in that one. So we see here that God gives life to us as we experience a visitation of His Spirit in our lives personally. And then when we have this visitation, then we get favor. And you say, well, Alan, favor? Now listen, what good is favor without a life that's not moving forward? Right? What good is favor without a life to bestow the favor upon that's not moving forward? You see, favor's for the future, not the past. So to experience the favor that this produces creates a mindset of moving forward. And it's in the moving forward that the favor is realized. You cash it in. So why is the enemy constantly trying to cause us to stay where we are in life and to think about the past and rehash the past and feel so bad about the past and all that stuff? Well, listen, it's okay, I think, with God. I know it's okay with me. Go ahead and feel bad about it and quit it. Don't keep doing it. You see, bad feelings don't get better. You quit them. The feeling of the presence of God grows. How do you know if that feeling that you're having is from the dark side and not from the light side? It's because it stays the same. A bad feeling doesn't grow. Good news. It just lasts till you let it go. It's just a tape. It plays over and over and over and over and over and over. And you keep approaching, I'd have done this, I'd have done that, I could do this, I could do... Listen, you can't utilize the favor of God. You can't cash it in over your past. You leave your past, it's forgiven. Take it to the cross, lay her down. One reason the people of God's not experiencing any more favor than they are is because they're not laying down their past at the cross. So therefore, do you think there's a great inheritance for us or what? That we're supposed to be spending now. There's a great inheritance in Christ to be spent now. But it can only be spent in a person that's moving forward now. So therefore, we are looking for this visitation. The visitation of the Spirit, we can start having heaven now. We don't have to wait till you die. Listen, one of these days I'm going to visit heaven. There will be a sign goes off at the great gates of Peter that says, Alan Smith is approaching. We're going to have a visitation from Alan. Because I am there. But what we're looking for is a visitation from God. That means He's going to visit us here. So the Scriptures are telling us we can have a visitation now, and with that visitation comes favor and a preserved life. All right, has everybody got that one? You ready to move forward? That's my introduction. Now, shifting atmospheres, keep all of this in mind. It's like shifting gears in a car. You start off, get your RPM up, drop the clutch, catch the next gear. You won't stay at a high revved RPM as you're moving forward in the spirit. You're shifting gears. You get your head way up, drop the clutch, change gear. So it has a revved up and a come down, a revved up and a come down. Now here's my point. Just as sure as you're coming down, you're realizing you're getting ready to shift gears, and when you shift to the next gear, you're going faster than you're really revved. It's a supernatural speed of God. It's called supernatural. I've said this before, I'll say it again. The speed of God has two speeds, slower than the naked eye, and faster than the naked eye. Got two speeds. In other words, God's supernatural realm is outside of your vision. It's slower and it's faster. I can't see it, but I can see the effects. In other words, if you plant a bush and go back and 10 years later and it's turned into a huge tree or a huge bush, you did not see that miracle. But you do know that it happened. There again, you can't see it. The speed of it's too slow. But nonetheless, it's still a miracle. Man can't create a pine tree. Right? Man can't create a pine tree. God creates pine trees. But think about it. God didn't create any furniture. He has a visitation upon man, gives him a revelation, tells him what to do with what he made. Man creates the furniture out of the tree that God grew supernaturally. Your born-again experience is supernatural, but the furniture you build with what's happened to you is up to you. You can't sit back and it just happen. You have to work at it. It's hard work. I tell people at the farm, it takes a lot of work to make a gallon of milk. People go in and get a gallon of milk off the shelf. I'm like, if they had any idea how much work it took to make that gallon of milk. In the Christian life, it takes a lot of work to make and create this new creation that's in Christ Jesus. Make no mistake about it. A lot of hard work, a lot of dying, a lot of laying down, a lot of starting over. Right? When something in life knocks you down, remember this thought. When you're down on your back, remember you're looking straight up. Sometimes God lets life knock us on our back. So we'll just look straight up at Him. And get our next revelation. So it's shifting gears in a car. Now, in this shift, we got the anticipation shift. I went over some of this in detail maybe 4 to 5, 6 weeks ago. Anticipation shift is the action of expectation, expectancy. In other words, when we're shifting these gears, your expectation is the first thing that helps make the shift. Now, the whole reason to shift is so you go faster with less effort. So when things of the Spirit are moving, we got to get out of first gear. Sometimes we rev the engine so high we blow a gasket. We're not really going anywhere, but we're making a lot of racket. Does anybody know what I mean? We got to shift gears. Got to get into this next gear. And the action of expectancy, unless you're expecting to go to second gear, will the second gear ever happen? I ask you the question. It will never happen. You're expecting the second gear is what causes The expectation of first gear going into second is what causes the first gear to release itself into the second gear. I can't say it again. I hope you got it. First gear has to release to second gear. Has to take that torque and release it. Then you start moving it higher. Faster rate of speed. Same amount of input. But because it's been revved with the Holy Spirit, it's moving faster. So that's the expectancy. When we have this operation of expectancy, do not expect or anticipate the worst. Come on, it causes you to scrape gears. You never get second gear. You're going out there, oh no, I bet I'm going to scrape it. Yeah, you're going to scrape it. You just called her a fourth is what you did. Yes, you're going to scrape gears. You can't, but see, the human soul likes to budget for stuff. So we're not surprised when it happens, which is a hidden case of pride. You want to show everybody how blame smart you are, because I knew it was going to be bad. Bless God. I mean, I'm how smart we are because we knew it was going to be bad. Good gracious of them. Somebody get a sheet and cover him up. That's embarrassing. You do not expect or anticipate the worst. And when you see, when we expect and then anticipate the worst, it is coming out of something that you have not laid down. See? So the way we take care of that second one is you got to lay it down. I'm expecting, well, it's always been that way. Right? It's always been that way. It'll happen again. Well, probably will if you do that. If you're thinking that, it means you hadn't laid it down. You can't think it unless you got it. If you ain't got it, you won't use it. Right? Now, always anticipate the best and it will find you. Anticipate the best and it'll find you. Now, I'm not saying in the route of that anticipation, if you allow me to use a biblical term here, it can be hell. Because this anticipation and our waiting, events in life happen. But if we hangeth thou in there, the best will find us. It will. It'll find us. Now, this is the anticipation shift. Don't be a spectator, be a participant. This whole church needs to be a participant. Everybody in your life needs to be a participant. If we're really going to shift gears, you got to be a participant. That's one reason we have the volunteer program. It's just an outward expression of how you... But it doesn't mean you got to be a volunteer. But when you're in here, give. Give in worship. Give in prayer. Give in expecting God to move. Live a life of being fired up. Huh? Anybody sign up for that one? Now, to live a life being fired up, you say, well, Alan, I don't know if I like that. Well, that means you don't have no fire. One way you know you have no fire, listen, you got to understand the human soul. The human soul, through the hidden cause of pride, thinks that it is a great way to get attention is just to sit down. If you're quiet long enough, somebody will notice and pat you on the head and say, poor, poor Alan. That's right. Y'all know I'm telling you the truth. It's the human soul. The human soul wants attention from people. Do you know why the human soul wants attention from people? You want attention from people because when people affirm you with attention, that attention is telling you who you are. Wow. Here's the problem with it. Somebody else is constantly telling you who you are. Anybody understand what I just said? When the humans want all this attention, it's identifying who you are. So somebody that craves human attention is somebody that does not know who they are. They are an individual that needs help. If you're constantly wanting to be patted on the head and somebody telling you what a great job you are, if you'll notice when somebody doesn't do that, then you're mad at them. That's right. Right?
Yeah.
One thing about getting patted on the head, you got to get patted regularly. When you know who you are, it doesn't make any difference if you get patted. Matter of fact, when you get it, you just assume they didn't. Because that's not who you are. You know who you are. You know who you are. You're not identified by what somebody else calls you or says you're good at. Yeah. Don't allow other people to define your reality and who you are. But as Christians and believers, we got to find out who we are and live unto that. And I'm getting a little ahead of myself. Let me get on here. Live a life of being fired up. I could but. In other words, I can't participate. I can't get fired up because of something. I heard this guy say this little story one time. He said there was this dog in this man's shop, and he walked up, and the man's dog, old dog's laying over there, and he had a bunch of boards, and the dog was laying on it, and that dog was, he was a moaning and a groaning. Just, the guy was there for over an hour, and the dog just kept moaning and groaning. And finally the guy said, well, what's wrong with your dog? He said, oh, there's a nail in that board. He said, a nail? He said, why don't he get off of it? He said, it don't hurt him bad enough to get off of it. He just won't stay on the nail moaning and groaning. I heard that preacher say that, and I said, that's the truth. When we're moaning and groaning, we're probably laying on a nail, but it's not hurting us bad enough to get up and get off. Anybody receive that as truth? That's just the truth from an old dog. I could, but. Well, I'm on this nail. Yeah, it's hurting me a little bit. You wouldn't believe what this board's doing to me. Always put in, bless God. That makes it spiritual. So if we're moaning and groaning, don't you think we need to get off the nail? Or are we moaning and groaning so somebody will pat us on the head? Huh? Well, that's a pretty little dog. Bless his little heart laying on. Boy, that's a tough dog laying on that nail. I'd hate to be known for that, wouldn't you? Now, let's move on. The word but limits your potential. That's what it does. There's no buts to life. There are none. Let me move on. The word but is an internal argument that limits us from always winning, is what I should say. The word but limits us from winning, from moving forward. There again, the favor of God is on those that are moving forward. But is an enemy. Griping and complaining is an enemy. Get off the nail. Or you're using the nail to get attention for yourself. The problem is when you get the attention, then that identifies who you are. That dog knew the only way it'd get attention is to stay on the nail. Can you see why the attention will sabotage your life? You don't live for attention. Come on, souls, straighten up. Now, get your butt. Okay. Sorry about that. Actually, I wrote that one after I heard Brian Wednesday night. You'll have to look it up on YouTube. Get your butt out of the way and let's move. Okay. Number two, the gathering atmosphere. Now, as we see who we're coming into identification of who we are, we're shifting atmosphere, shifting gears. We're wanting the favor of God so we can move this atmosphere of our church first, then Alexander County, then the world. As this happens, we understand this gathering concept. It's an atmosphere change of gathering. that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are where? Now, I want you to grab this concept of this, of the atmosphere as a group of God's people. It is in our hands and our hands alone to change the atmosphere of this congregation, of this county, of your workplace, of the world. It is in our hands. With that truth, we realize that we've got one hand, one foot in heaven, we got one foot on the earth. We understand that. For that reason, we don't sit in a corner somewhere and pray till we die. Why? We're about changing the atmosphere on the earth. People say, well, the world's getting worse, worse, and worse. The only thing I can tell you is the church is not changing the atmosphere. Don't blame the devil. Blame lazy people of God. Say, Alan, that's good preaching. Now, so we see this concept of heaven and earth. As time comes into maturity, God is going to be in the gathering business. When you got born again, you got to get this concept of what's happening in the Spirit. When you got born again, God gathered you in. Right? You're gathering. You're not hoarding. You're gathering. Here it goes. Genesis 1:1 is about two places. Anybody tell me what it is? Heaven and the earth. So in Genesis 1:1, God created the heavens and the earth. Both were here. The whole book starts with heaven and the earth. Now, all of a sudden, 4,000 years later, we discover God's created a people that can identify and will live in heaven and earth. My land. It's talking about us. Can anybody feel what I'm saying? God's been waiting a long time for us to get here. And then we're going to squander it. Time, heaven, and earth has been waiting on our being here. We've got to get the right mindset of what in the world's going on. Here we go. To live in this realm, you will get knocked down. Well, I mean, come on, it's pretty uncomfortable. You got one leg hiked way up here, nothing down here. It doesn't take much to push you over. But praise God, let us be pushed over with one foot in heaven and one on the earth. You're going to take a chance. We are to inspire people, not just instruct people. If what I'm saying in here this morning does not inspire you, it's probably not spirit. Either my spirit's wrong or yours is. If all I'm doing is teaching you, as that old gal says on the internet, it ain't doing it. Right? The way we know it's spirit is because it inspires. Can you hear me? There's no need in going around life trying to instruct everybody and tell everybody all the time what to do. Is anybody caught on to that one? But your life can inspire. And if you inspire someone, they got it. Because it's inspirational. Inspiration's written in the spirit and the soul will follow. Now, people change through inspiration. You ever heard of inspired worship? Right? It'll change you. Inspired preaching, it'll change you. When we all come in here together as an inspired people of God, it will change this atmosphere. And this atmosphere will be inspirational. Inspirational comes out of the natural into the spirit, the supernatural. Without inspiration, we cannot get there. Inspiration is the wings of the eagle. You got to hear me. Now, number three, relationship atmosphere change. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath done what? Blessed us with what? How many? all spiritual blessings where? Heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We have now understood. We are a people, been created. We're to be a people of heaven and earth. Two places at the same time. First time in history, we have been created for heaven and the earth. Just so happens that these blessings we are to bring to the earth are in heaven. It's like we're waiting for somebody to drop one up there so we can maybe get it. It's not the way it works. You got to change your mindset. You can't allow, the reason I don't want you to allow people patting you on the head, because it'll dictate your reality of who you are. It'll dictate how you see yourself. We got to understand these blessings are in heavenly places. You and I have a special relationship with the heavenly places because of the cross of Christ. Church, what I'm telling you is the truth. Just because we're not experiencing it doesn't mean it's not true. But it means we need to get on with it. We need this favor that changes an area. We are to have a special relationship with heaven and the earth. What that's saying is you can get a job, you can work, you can go ride a go-kart just fine. But remember, your main relationship's in the heavens. And if you run into somebody on the go-kart track that needs Jesus, you're going to get off that go-kart and give them Jesus. Because you're grabbing what's in heaven, bringing it to the earth. You cannot moan and groan and be in the heavenly places at the same time. Is anybody hear what I'm saying? I don't need to elaborate on that, do I? You just can't do it. Just think of the dog. You must stare what causes you to moan and groan in the face and say you are not going to destroy me. Can anybody in this house do that? Say, okay, you're moaning and groaning. That's okay. But don't lay there on that nail forever and moan and groan. You look at that nail and you say, you are not going to destroy me. You see, you got to get your eyes off of wanting attention from everybody so you can look at the nail. And you look at that nail and you tell it what for. You say, you are not going to destroy me because my identity doesn't come from other people on how tough I am for laying on a nail. My identity doesn't come from others. It comes from Christ in me, and I look at you, nail that I've been moaning and groaning about, and you're going to be removed. That's right. I promise you, 75% of people that moan and groan want the attention. I can tell them what the nail is and pull it, and they won't pull it. Why? Because that's the source of their attention. Yeah, let the Spirit fill in the blanks for you. All right, let's move on. You must be a warrior in your life. You must harness your mind. Come on. Can I move on? To limit yourself is to have fear and not faith. That's right. I promise you, you will have to live in fear if you've got a lot of inventory of the historical things that's happened in your life. How do I know that? It's because in the front of your files of stored life is the worst events that's ever happened. You don't put the best ones. You put the worst ones. I got a pretty short file. I'm constantly putting my best, my worst, I'm laying them all down. What I thought was good is bad, wasn't nothing but pride. And what's bad is bad. So just put the whole file at the foot of the cross every morning you get up or every night. Just put it down there. Say, God, teach me today. Lead me today. Teach me something new. Say, I don't need to be patted on the back. I don't need to be patted on the head. Right? I've told people in this church, it's okay with me if you don't come up and say, Alan, you did a great job. The reason is I don't want you to come up and say, Alan, you did a bad job. See, it's a little smarter than you think. Truth is, I want to set us all an example. We don't live by patteth on the head. We live by every word of God. God's people don't need patted on the head because they know who they are in Christ Jesus. They're just, I'm just up here speaking because this is what I've been called, this is what I'm supposed to do. So I'm doing it. That's all that's happening. Now, to limit yourself is to have fear and not faith. How many things can you do in Christ Jesus? Do you really believe it?
Yes.
You can do how many things? Okay, when you don't believe that, you got fear operating. Fear has to have somewhere to live, and it's on your past. It's on memory. Past. You want rid of fear? I've had people say, I've got to get this fear off of me. I say, okay, you got to dump the past. You got to lay it at the cross of Christ. Fear has nowhere to grow. You see, fear is trying to be prophetic to your future, not favor. Right? God gives favor. The dark side gives fear. Now listen, I know that's hard. It's easy for me to say, and it's hard to do. I understand that. I totally understand that. Just consider what I said, if you think it's by the Spirit, and start working on it. Because fear's a booger. She's a booger. Listen, fear's bigger than you are. It's bigger than I am. So what do? Light will dispel darkness. Start running after the favor. Greater, more you lay down, the greater the visitation. And allow the light to push it on out. Say, well, Alan, I've been struggling with it for 30 years. I understand that. The reason you've been struggling with it for 30 years is because you don't really realize what's happening. You got to really and truly lay it down. You can't get it justified. Well, they did it on purpose. Well, forgive them on purpose. Right? You got to let it go. You just flat got to let it go. It'll make a mental wreck out of you. Now, oh my goodness, time's moving. All right, heavenly places shift now. So we realize we got this shift, heaven and earth. We got these heavenly places shifting. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together where? Heavenly places. Here we are to be these people of heaven and the earth. We've got one foot on each side. He says, raise us up. That's a big term. Don't understand it. God, what do you mean, raise us up? Let's look at it in Ephesians. To the intent that now, say that now. Does that now mean right now? That now unto the where? Principalities and powers in heavenly places. Oh, we got another player. Principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. So here all of a sudden, listen, if these principalities and powers are going to get wherefore and told what to do, it's been done, but it's been given, that authority has been given to the church. That's what he's saying. The church has the authority over principalities and powers. Does that say that or not? Right, to start with, before we can do that, we got to be raised up. We got to get set in heavenly places. That means you got a worldview. When you're in the heavens, you got a worldview. You don't have just a little tunnel vision. You've created a worldview of the kingdom of God. How do you know if you're sitting in heavenly places? You love the church. It's when you love what you do. How do I know I'm in heaven? Listen, if you start groaning and complaining about the church, I've already taught you, nothing's perfect, right? Church isn't perfect, right? So there's no need moaning and groaning and complaining about the imperfections of the church. Now, how do you know if you're sitting in heavenly places? Because you love the church. How do you love the church? It's because your love for the church is greater than your requirements of people. That's right. Your love is what carries you and raises you up. The love of God raises you up. You can't moan and groan and be raised up. It's the love of God that raises you up. You can say, Alan, I don't understand the love of God. I'll tell you something. I don't either. Love of God's big. Are you with me? Love of God's huge. It's big. Mainly what I've discovered so far about the love of God is that it's there and it's big. I felt it just a little bit. When I did, I don't know what happens about it. It makes me cry. What is that? Is anybody else like that? Feel the presence, love. Yeah, I know you got it. You slobber all over anybody. Right. The love of God makes you cry and it just does stuff. Say, well, Alan, that embarrasses me. Well, you say, a lot of you need a good embarrassment. How do you know you're there? It's because you love the church. And now carry on with me here just a minute. It's 20 after 10, but I got cheated out of 5 minutes, so I'm going to take it to 10:25. Now, you love the church is how you know you're sitting there in heavenly places. Unless you're sitting in heavenly places, you don't really know what's going on. The only thing you can operate out of is your soul. And when you do that, you're moaning and groaning all the time. Is anybody sick? Listen, I'm sick of hearing myself moan and groan. I know everybody else is. Let me give you a news flash. Everybody's tired of you moaning and groaning too. Makes you sick. Now, you love the church. There's something out there in the heavenly atmospheres that opposes what God's doing. Now, I'm going into next week, which I'm going to finish this one up here. Who is to make known God's wisdom to the heavenly places? I just showed you. It's the church. It's through the church's dedication and hard work. I'm so sorry. To do church, to do the kingdom of God's hard work. Takes a lot of work to make a gallon of milk. Listen, it seems like to me, the amount of work it takes to make a gallon of milk's not worth it. But the truth is, there's some kid somewhere drinking a glass of milk and is giving it life. The work in the church is going to seem like it's not worth it. The parts you can't see, somewhere, somebody, somewhere is getting life out of it. And don't think somebody else is going to do it. If this church does not do what God set it out to do, there are people going to die and go to hell. Somebody else isn't going to take up the slack. It's not the way it works. I can prove it to you. We're supposed to do what we're supposed to do. We're holding this part of the spiritual atmosphere together. Now you understand why you can come to church and come under an attack from these heavenly places. It is to stop us from changing the atmosphere. It's hard work. She's hard. To change atmosphere, you must be who you came here to be. Not who someone else wants you to be. Now listen to me. I'm going to have to stop there. I didn't get near where I was wanting to go. But here's what you got to get. If you're a people that wants to be patted on the head all the time, please get this, and I'll go into it more next week. The bottom line is you don't know who you are. So you're looking for other people to define who you are. Can somebody hear me? You need to forget who everybody else thinks you are. And you got to get with God and find out who you are in Christ Jesus. Then when you find out who you are in Christ Jesus, you're not scared of the devil. You're not scared of the storm. You're not scared of what other people say. You don't need a pat on the head like a puppy dog because you know who you are in Christ Jesus. Now, you can say, Alan, that sounds a little smarty. No, it's serious. You got to know it, who you are in Christ, that the atmosphere around your life might change. It's a changing atmosphere. And when you know who you are, it's fine for somebody to say you did a good job. Well, I'm not saying that. But I am saying this. Please hear me. When you require other people to brag on you, you don't know who you are. You know who you are before people brag on you. Does anybody understand what I say? Do you love me anyhow? Let's stand. I'll pick it up here next week. Lord Jesus, we love you. We thank you for today. We thank you for the power of your resurrection. Now, Lord Jesus, I ask and pray that we will all learn who we are in Christ Jesus, that we might be bold warriors of the cross. Teach us, oh God, how to lay things down, that we might have a greater visitation. Dear God, we need a visitation. Teach us to lay more down, greater visitation. Lay more down, greater visitation. Lay more down, greater visitation. Teach us, O God, that the lost might be saved and the sick might be healed. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.